Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm your host, Kyle. That's Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga. And Baba, who's the new face? I don't recognize him.
I don't know. Some new guy. He's just hanging out tonight.
Thanks. How you doing, buddy?
I know it's been a while, but I know we talk almost every day, but geez.
Yeah. How old's the kid now? Well, is he starting school yet?
7 months.
No?
He's in grade school.
It's good to have you back, man.
Appreciate it.
Good to get you in on at least one of these before the new year. Let's do some show news, and then we'll figure out what we're going to talk about tonight. I figure probably something about how our trading's changed over the year, maybe, or maybe some stuff about evals that you guys have done recently.
Yeah.
But first, let's talk about what you guys got going on at Vanta. Are we doing a shortened week hangout in the shop side for Christmas or New Year's, anytime around there? Did you guys pick a week for that yet?
You know what, Kyle? We can do a hangout on the shop side anytime.
Well.
But we can definitely do it around Christmas for the shortened week.
Are you going to be trading at all during Christmas? I don't know if I'm going to be.
Let's see. Let's see when it falls. So
Christmas is on a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah, so no, there's no chance I'm trading the Christmas week. So how about the week before Christmas?
The week before or the week after?
I'd think the better opportunities would be the week before.
All right. Sounds good to me.
So I'm not sure about the 16th. New Year trading, but yeah, we can do the week of the 16th on the other side.
Sounds good to me. All right.
You heard it here first, folks.
All right. As far as show news goes, upcoming guest episodes, I've got Brian and Josh from the Futures Desk. That'll be coming out on Thursday. This is the guys launching a new prop firm that had a chance to poke around. Kind of like what they're doing there. We'll see, you know, if they stick with that, if they do what they say they're doing, you know, over the long haul. But everything they're doing right now looks good to me.
And what do they do? What is it? The Futures Desk?
It's another prop firm. I've got a couple invites, actually, that I'm planning on dispersing for M-Period challenges. But okay. We'll probably start launching those again at the start of the new year. I think with the holidays and everything going on, it's just too much stuff going to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's an interesting take from what you told me. It's kind of a build-your-own type of prop.
Yeah, and they're a little pricey. They're a little pricey, but they have a lot more features and a lot more support built in. So if you're the type of trader, I think, that's like trades like Baba does with a prop account, where you're just one and done.
Come on, man. I'm letting my son trade it now.
Right.
I'm not really letting my son trade it because...
No, but if that's your style, that's probably not the prop firm for you. But if you're the type of person who likes to trade a prop account like you trade a real account, then they look like the type of people that you probably want to work with. But, I mean, that episode will be out on Thursday, so you can judge for yourself. And then after that, I got Christian Crowley, who's the co-founder of Sanctum AI, which is actually a really cool tool. It's basically a downloadable LLM and you can like choose between different ones. So they have probably, I think he said like 10,000 or something of them on there that people have like built in these custom libraries. And then all your data stays on your computer because you're downloading the model and all the stuff that allows it to work. It's storing everything on your computer. So you don't have to worry about, you know, where all that stuff goes. Really kind of neat idea. I downloaded the app. I'm going to play around with it this weekend. There's some add-ins that come with it to make it easier so you don't have to figure out how to install all this stuff to allow you to upload like full-size PDFs. Like they have all that stuff already built out of their app. So if you want to trade a model off of like your favorite trading books and then help it like, you know, maybe figure out some strategies for you, like there's a lot of really cool stuff you can do with that, I think.
That's cool. It's interesting.
Yeah. That's enough for the show, I think. Let's dive into some topics. So Baba, Banks, you guys just recently did, what, two evals over the weekend, I think it was? Two or three?
Two. We were supposed to have a third, but I screwed up the date, so.
Dude, I totally forgot about that. I felt so bad, man.
I mean, how'd those go without giving away too much personal details? You guys have done kind of a grip of these things now at this point. Like, what are some of the common things that you're seeing pop up that traders are struggling with?
I've got my notes right here. One second.
Yeah. I was going to say it's a variety of stuff. I would say the thing that we probably hit on the most is probably from not actually the trading side, but more of the mental side.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a headline in most trader evals, to be honest with you. And it's a wide variety. I mean, you know, it all depends on that, you know, specific trader, kind of how they trade, et cetera. But I would say vast majority of the time, it's either mental in the sense of, you know, trying to grind too hard or, you know, not getting a payout and kind of not seeing kind of the end goal type of thing and pushing it a little bit. And I don't know, it's just a wide variety. I mean, I think it all kind of settles around the mental aspect is what we hit on the most. We do dig into the trading, but I would say the most of it is probably noticing some of the behaviors you notice during your trading, like, you know, with Baba, like his posture. I know he mentions that all the time. When he starts to sit a certain way, me and you both know, like, oh, we should probably say something,
you know, right.
but unless you kind of notice that and you kind of have those cues, it's hard to, pinpoint that.
Yeah. And journaling, I always point to is what helps me figure out those things for me, like those thoughts that tend to repeat in your head, like the, what am I doing right now for me? Baba, yours is what, who's buying, I think is the one that you like to say.
Who would be buying this here? Who would be selling this here?
But yeah, if you're not, you got to have some way of being able to, you know, identify those things. Talking through it after the fact is one way. Journaling is really the one, though, that helps me the most. That's the one that I tend to lean on. That's the one that I tend to find the most stuff wrong in my trading.
Yeah, I think most of the skill set stuff, usually it seems like people have a reasonable handle on what they're trying to do. Like, for the most part, it's rare that somebody said, usually someone will say, I'm trading in sim right now because I'm trying to, you know, have a track record of profitability. Yep. But here's the things that I'm running into. That's one of the things that happens a lot. But another thing is, like, I know this came up this week, I think in both of them, but I know one of them, trailing stops versus, or like a, what, how do we, how would I trail a stop, or how do I trail a stop? Or, and of course, depending on like how your trading is, what you're entering on and things like that, you're going to trail stops. Your flexibility with how to do that is going to be different, you know? I mean, but generally that would be like the kind of thing that would come up. Hey, well, like I'm struggling to trail my stops, or I always put them too tight or whatever, whatever. So like, we talked about that a little bit, about some like trend following, shorter time frame trend following ideas, like what are some simple tools where you could just trail your stop below a certain, you know, a tool set of some sort, things like that. But most of the technical stuff revolves around those type of conversations, or like efficiency. Like, one of the things that I think people maybe sometimes overlook is like, okay, if I, and you know, oh, one of the guys in our room is like incredibly efficient. He trades a lot of size for, you know, a certain profit target, and his win rate is such that he can do that, you know, repetitively and no problem. But most folks, I would encourage them to look at the number of like, what, not risk reward, but like the, how efficiently are you using the number of contracts you're trading? So if you're like, that's something I'm trying to focus on. I'm trying to like restrict myself away from a lot of size right now. One, we're in all time high land. But two, like that efficiency piece, like it's like how much I don't want to squeeze so much to get every last drop out of the lemon, but I definitely want to squeeze past like the first little bit. So let's say if I'm trading 10 contracts per position, once I'm scaled in or whatever, I'm yielding 100 points on the day, let's just say, right? But could I yield 100 points with 7 contracts? Right?
Okay.
So
you're actually talking about doing more with less.
Yeah, do my setups and do the targets that are within the realm of the of what I'm doing, do they allow for a more efficient application of this idea that I'm trying to apply to the market? And you can get like, it can be discouraging at times or frustrating at times because, you know, your P&L high is going to be affected by that. But when you're looking at efficiency first and then trying to kind of readjust some of that, I think it's a helpful, at least a helpful practice, you know? And so we talked a little bit about that idea of like efficiency. Like
it's kind of interesting because I think I was kind of stumbling into something, but kind of on the other end, one of the things that I noted from this past week is that I tend to size down to allow myself to take more shots. And
there's nothing. Yeah.
So actually, what that was actually hurting me, that was allowing me to go on tilt because I was loosening up on my standards. So one of the commitments I made this week was to take full size positions on every trade. If I'm going to take a trade, I'm going to be taking it with the max allowed risk. So that way everything is the same.
Or in another iteration of that idea is like, okay, if your full size is five, let's say, and now I don't know, this is, you know, everyone has different takes on this, but you'll see a lot of times I'll look to try to add, but I'll have like a goal, you know, if we can do this, I'd love to add above this, or if you're trading some specific signal or whatever, there's another, you know, obviously you could say, I'll take this much on the first entry. And then if we survive the first pullback and I get another entry signal, then that's about the rest of my position. Then you just know that a lot of your positions, you're not going to have full size on, but every so often you get the opportunity to add. I mean, there's a myriad of ways to play that out.
Yeah. The reason why I went the opposite way is because I needed to make the trades matter more to me, I think.
Yeah.
By making them all be full size, they all became a little bit more scary. So I was a little bit more selective. And then I actually saw that with the number of trades I took. Significantly better, and the trades that I was taking when I started implementing that was a lot better too.
Yeah, like there's a fine line, right, between a trade needs to matter to keep my discipline in check, but no one trade needs to matter too much because then we're counterproductive on that front. But
And I think I found the right balance with that. Banks, you started to say something, sorry.
Yeah, well, and I think it all depends too a little bit on day type and kind of where we're at. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, because, you know, if you're trading news, for instance, if we got a day, you know, where we're trading, you know, some news at, you know, 10 o'clock or whatever, you know, I think at that point, it's just a matter of having enough capital to fire in the spots that you want. So, if those are the days where you're sizing down, I don't think that's inappropriate to do. Because I feel like a lot of those days, it's a matter of just patience on waiting for the correct setups. Mm-hmm. You know, something that I've noticed is, and I think that's true for pretty much every trader here, except maybe scalpers, is when I start trading a lot of trades in a day, like, you know, if I'm more than 3 to 4 is typically when I have a really bad day. Mm-hmm. You know, because like, if you think about it, you're going to be in, if you have a really good day, you're probably going to take 1 or 2 trades.
Yeah.
When, you know, and if you take a stop on 1 or 2 and you try to fight it back on 3, all of a sudden you start to trade into the afternoon on 5, 6, and 7. It just doesn't make any sense. And you're starting to, take trades out of process and just never works out.
Yeah.
Well, it also just, I know for me, a day that I take a lot of trades is a day that it's almost like informing me backwards that I don't have a really good read on what's going on.
Yeah.
Cause yeah. Unless like I've sent you screenshots or we've been on when the number of contracts across a sequence from a swing high to a swing low or vice versa, there may be multiple entries and exits, but the core idea was from point A to point B. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we cover some on a swing high and we add some on a swing low and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the days where you take an entry, you get one scale off, break even, or stop out. And then you take another one and then the stop out and take another one scale. And it's like this tug of war. That's those days that have that difficult vibe we've talked about where it's like, man, you know, like, get out of the way. Like, can we just get go somewhere? I mean,
I actually made a note in my journal yesterday about that. Disrespectful markets and must sweep something first. Stop taking my normal setups.
Oh my God, dude. I sent, so there's a, it's too complicated of a thing to explain, but I have been doing some market commentary with a buddy of mine, just kind of talking through, this is what I'm looking at for the week, this is what I'm looking at for the day, similar to what we do in the morning for Vanta, but I'm sending kind of updates mm-hmm. periodically, and kind of for me it is this written out stream of conscious thought of where the market is and where it should go. So it's really helpful for me to just be able to look back and say, okay, here's what, similar to a daily plan, but this is maybe one notch zoomed out. And it's like, this is how I think things will unfold. Here's a couple of key things that I'm looking at. And then, I posted an excerpt out of it in Discord the other day, but I looked at that day you're talking about. And I sent him a picture of, so I had these, you know, zones drawn out where I wanted to trade from here to here, yada, yada, yada. And the way the day went, that all, if you just looked at the plan and then you looked at the day, you'd have thought, oh my gosh, that was, you killed it.
Right.
The problem was, I know the day you're talking about, we would make a 30-minute swing low, start a new candle, fail at the low. So we would hold the prior 30-minute swing low. We would then trade up some amount, and then we would sweep both those lows and then go. And that sweep and go was on a 30-minute time frame. It wasn't like 1-minute sweeps, right? So it created this very difficult it made it difficult to be a part of trading the entire sequence because you're not able to like get all the way positioned. It was like from the 140, it was a 34 to 44, 188 to 195, and 224 to 256. Those were the three spots where I wanted to trade, you know, from one to the next to the next. And if you look at that on a 30-minute chart from, I think that was the 7th or something like that, you'll see all the back sweeps. It was
either today or yesterday. Tomorrow's the 7th.
It was really moody.
Yeah.
Not the 7th. Sorry. What did I say?
It was either the 5th or the 6th. It was either today or yesterday.
It wasn't today.
Maybe it was the day before. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter.
The whole week was kind of like that early, for being honest.
The week was a bit of a booger. That's why we took that one day off, which might have been like out of left field for everyone, but I just did not need to sit at the – I knew like everything about that was already fixing to create a – it was going to create a real crisis for me. So
I tried to power through it. It didn't work. And then I saw the exact same scenario the next day, and I still did the same thing.
Well, I mean, if you survived this week or traded it well, congrats to whoever. And if you just hung on by the seat of your pants, you shouldn't feel bad because this was not – I mean, it wasn't the most straightforward. But unless you just bought the open today and didn't look back.
Right.
Which I tried to and still took a stop. And then I was like, you know what? Nah, dog, not today. Not on my Friday.
Right.
So
– Banks, got anything to add? Or should we move on to the next one?
No, we can move on to the next one.
Well, since it's been so long since we had you on here, this is one that I kind of like doing with Baba periodically, is just kind of recapping, you know, how previous period went, whether it be a quarter, 6 months, I think in your case, almost 9.
No minute play.
If you want to just kind of walk us through like how your trading's kind of evolved over this period or anything that you've noticed or changed since you've been gone.
Nothing's really.
And when you say been gone from the podcast.
Yes, let's just. Yeah. Since we've been had with you us on in the room
all along. Yeah.
Yeah. No, nothing's really changed trading wise. I would say, I was trading the ranges back then, right? When we were talking.
But you were doing a lot of stuff with quarterly theory, which I think has evolved a little bit.
Now I don't even have that. I have it on my chart. I don't draw it up. It's just there. I just know it mentally. The only thing I really have now, I just look at hourly ranges and 20-minute ranges within that hour.
What's the deal with the 20-minute ranges? Why that time period?
Just because you're taking the quarterly theory in sense, at least mentally for me, and you're putting that same time frame within an hour of the way that we're looking at it. So you're still giving three distributions within mm-hmm. that 1 hour time frame. That's really the only thing. The 20 minute I like because it just gives a break, at least mentally, for like certain algos to trade during certain times. So when I'm looking at this, you know, when you have a 20 minute high that, you know, pushes over a previous high and you have like a pullback onto like a 25% or a 50% fib of that level, typically you're going to see continuation within that hour. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, stuff that I'm, you know, continuing to notice with this. Yeah. But I mean, changing of trades or anything, it's funny that you talk about this because I feel like if you're not changing or tweaking something, I don't know, it's hard to grow in trading. I feel like there's always something that you could at least look at and add. Mm-hmm. I've been pretty guarded probably this last, I don't know, I guess 7 months, you know, 8 months, 9 months, whatever it is. I really haven't really looked at anything else beyond what I'm looking at. Which is kind of a good thing and a bad thing. I just, you know, with where I have been in life personally, I just haven't been doing as much deep diving into charts than mm-hmm. I probably need to. But, you know, when you got a newborn, it's kind of hard to stay up till like 2 a.m. and look at charts and stuff. But it's been relatively the same. You know, I, you know, still in the mornings talking with Baba about, you know, his TPO and his balance areas and stuff like that. It's interesting how they line up with stuff that I'm looking at for like untested mids. And, you know, it's just interesting. And even today we were talking about the stuff that you're looking at and putting the 25s and 50s on there, or I guess 25s and 75s.
I find a lot of the work that I do lines up with a lot of your levels.
Which is different because I'm off of time and you're off of
price action or rotation.
Price action. Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting how that's lining up as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, over this, you know, it's been, you know, been kind of a wild ride. We had a prop firm fail that I was owed money.
Were you involved in that?
Yeah, he was owed a lot of money.
Man, I'm sorry, dude. You didn't get to vent for the rest of us.
Not as much as some other people, but.
You didn't get to vent, but did you, did we mention that our group as a whole was probably a little over $250,000 that was owed.
That's the conservative estimate, I think.
I only had 12, so it's not like some people had a lot more than me, so it is what it is. But you know, that's a cherry on top, you know, for it. So during this time frame.
At least it wasn't dog poop.
That's true. That brings me back a bit.
Right. Baba, you cut that out. I might leave that in there. What about you, Baba? How's your trading been over the last quarter or so since we last did one of these reviews?
Well, I guess I spent I don't know what 5 weeks. That's or I spent 3 weeks not trading. I spent 5 weeks, so about 2 months of this quarter, I was either dealing with a hurricane or wasting my time trading a freaking idiot stuff that aren't going to ever pay you. If that makes sense, could have been a lot better. To be honest, as far as the total take, it's just kind of like, dang.
No, sorry, man. I'm not asking about how you did. I'm asking about how your processes have changed, if anything's shifted in there.
Nothing has really shifted. I would say, so playing with days, quarterly stuff, I still am aware of those ranges. I don't, and I'll take a trade from that, but some of the work that I lean into that I've always leaned into pretty regularly, I would say, right? Like it all needs to kind of be a part of that decision. And I think it like we alluded to this maybe last recording with Flary when we were hanging out talking about, you know, if my work tells me that I should be looking to trade higher, then that informs even how I'll interpret those ranges. So like, for instance, today, I mean, we couldn't take an hourly range low, I don't think, all day. If we did, I don't think we did. And then we really, really struggled around the mids to get below, whether that's a 20 minute, some of the 20 minutes we did, but like the hourly split from the 30 to 30. So from like 9:30 to 10:30, 10:30 to 11:30, those hourly mids, I mean, they provided some opportunity. So I say that to say that, that stuff is on my, those ranges are on my charts, because if I'm already looking to be long and I'm going to be participating in the market, then that would be even like a smaller structural place that I would say, hey, if we rotate down and we fumble the bags for the sellers into a 20 minute mid or especially an hourly mid, then I can start looking for executions the other way. So that stuff is still helpful as a guide, I would say. Maybe the macro application of that.
How do you mean? Like the weekly work that you're doing?
The macro application of time stuff is still something that I'll think about, but I put more emphasis on balance and value, because that kind of gives me some bias, like if rotation is more likely. Like when we gapped above the balance area that we had produced, my hesitation to trade was mostly because I would like a chance to bid out of the balance area. Mm-hmm. So this big price swing higher exploration is on helium in one sense, other than the structure that's built in that day as it develops. But like for me, if we would have back tested that balance area high and then went, that would have been much more ideal, and I would have had kind of the green light to go. But we like traded above it, Globex, or gapped above it, and then just, you know, it was just full throttle. Whereas maybe some of the other range stuff would have still given some, you know, opportunity. But I'm just going to lean more heavily into, like, when I look back at the chart at the end of the day or the end of the week, if I took a bunch of stops on the way down to that balance area high, I would just sit and lament, why did you not just wait till we retest the balance area high? That's always going to be a pivotal point. It's going to kick off of there and go, or we're going to fall through it and then reclaim it with pace, or we'll fumble. And then that will be where the offer steps in to pull us back into the range. There's been too many days that I've looked back and gone, God, why in the world did you not wait for the spots that you already had identified? And so
I swear you're reading my journal right now.
Yeah.
I think so that's exactly what I wrote for this week.
Yeah. I'm just trying to just to continue to refine that, man, because we've got, for some of you that don't know, like we've got this real estate thing that we're doing that's going well, like doing well, a lot of cool opportunities with that. Are just developing now. And like, I was talking to Banks about this today. Like, I want to be, I would say, efficient with my trading as possible, because I have other things going on too that are also income producing opportunities. And so I can't play around with trading from the standpoint of like, oh, well, we'll just throw a little long in here and see. Like, I just can't afford with my time or my capital to do that. Although there have been plenty of days where I have done that. And so that's where like I'm trying to continue to grow or push forward in. Right.
It's like what Flaherty was saying back when we talked about that, like the days when you have to buckle down and like the days that you're going to be working all day, you know, but those are the days that are good, not the days that are shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
or should be.
Yeah. So it's, so to circle back around to your work question, I'm still piddling. I was piddling tonight with trying to take charts out of my screen. Like, yeah. And by take charts out, I mean, okay, do I really need 3 footprint charts on this other monitor?
Right.
You know, which they all monitor at a different size, and they all communicate something a little different. Like if we trap on the smallest of time frame from a delta standpoint, That should be reflexive and should quickly move out of there. We don't want to see a retest of that. If we trap on a wider time scale, we're really comfortable with that as a kind of a rebid opportunity where, especially if that delta was, you know, kind of a quick trap and we bounce 15, 20 points and we kind of grind back down, and then that's where, you know, we can take that. But do I really need all those two and a third? And then even if from a efficiency standpoint, like watching that and watching this and looking at that, it's like, I'm trying to take some of that information and, you know, take it to its simplest form. What are we looking for? We're looking for delta that is producing or not producing. Okay, well, I can distill that out to a dot on the chart in all reality, or a zone that just prints automatically. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get rid of those footprint charts, not because I'm not a fan, but because I'd really like to see the delta information on a chart that I'm making decisions on, like my Renko chart.
Right.
So let's take my Renko chart when we have a reversal based on price movement out of a zone, and let's bring that delta information over in the form of a dot or in the form of a star. And so that chart now becomes more valuable to me, right? And then that frees up monitor space over here for maybe an hourly chart that's always up, instead of the toggling that you see on my main window between the hourly chart and the rest of my Renko chart, which covers up half of it at times. Things like that are really, I'm trying to like distill the information that's decision-making information down to the fewest number of charts possible. That's probably the biggest one.
Yeah, I think I go through that process about once a year personally, of like purging the charts, finding what still needs to be there, what doesn't need to be there, you know?
Yeah. And for me, it's like the information, I want that information.
Right.
I just want to get it in a way that's consolidated.
Yeah.
Without jumbling a chart up too much. I want to get that information
as easily and quickly as possible, and as integrated into everything else I'm doing as I can get it.
And I'll show you an example, actually, even though the listeners wouldn't be able to see it necessarily. But this was very much just an adjustment to my Renko chart that I was just playing with, today, from today, actually. And you'll see kind of what I'm saying. So if I want to see, I've already moved over like trapped delta spots, but then I also pulled in certain size delta, accumulated in a certain way that kind of creates more and less important dots, right? So like the big fat blue dot, that's going to be important. If you see that, see if that makes sense.
Yeah, see if I can just do that so people can see it.
Yeah, anybody that's watching. Yeah. So I don't know that this is the final form of this chart, but what you'll notice even from like, say, 3 weeks ago, is we have this light pink vertical line, and then the darker red vertical line. And the light pink vertical line is indicating a certain amount of expansion of rotation past a certain standard deviation threshold. Hmm. Conversely, I have a baby blue one. Shout out to M. Lebon, right? And that baby blue one is the opposite. When sellers have pressed, you know, to a certain standard deviation through rotation, then we look then for the potential for a reversion. But if that doesn't happen, and you can see like that counter trend rotation right after that exhaustion signal was met with aggressive selling straight into aggressive buying, which is why it got that blue dot at the bottom. So for instance, this is from tonight, right? Like I just put this together this evening. That would give me a chance to hitch the wagon with a little more confidence. But if I'm but that happened quick. Mm-hmm. I'm scrambling between watching a footprint chart and keeping up with where we are in time and where are we in rotations. And I'm looking between two screens to do that and watching time and sales for large orders. Yeah, it's just inefficient.
Yeah.
So how can we make it more efficient? What about when that delta trapped right past the average rotation up and boom, we rocketed out of there? Like that would be a great ad, right? Ad with strength. Yeah. So I'm really trying. I love the visual of this chart because it is very informative to me, but I'm trying to make it represent a few more things that I want to see. Anyways, that's a long monologue.
But Prop Alpha tools.
Shout out Prop Alpha. Yeah, mm-hmm. Most of them are on there. Yeah. So we're looking at mainly this is a Renko chart, right? A Flex Renko chart. So, I mean, if you don't know what that is, just look it up. But basically trying to capture like reversals in rotations, mm-hmm. right? So we got studies going on in the background, measuring average rotations. And then I'm throwing standard deviation on that. Shout out Flary. Thanks for the help. And then have two different iterations of standard deviation for both up rotations and down, because the down rotations have certain nuance and up rotations have certain nuance. So they're looking the standard deviation required to paint the background for up rotation versus down is different. We're also pulling in delta from a certain, you know, from a tick chart, right? So we're going, okay, over this many trades, this usually creates a rotation. So based on that, what amount of delta on average is needed to create that type of rotation? That's where the blue dots on the swing lows.
What are the red lines?
The red lines are the up rotation.
Okay. Okay.
Basically I look at it like the pink line is up rotation, but it's standard. It's a multiple standard deviations of an up rotation.
I see.
Cause see, none of those really had follow through. The first red line, no follow through, not even barely a reversal. And then the second red vertical, no, none at all. And then the third one, still not really much of one. But what's interesting too, Kyle, just while you're looking at it is, I'm sure a lot of people tried to throw on fades early in the day. And if you look at the drive up from like the cluster of failed rotations there between the two red vertical lines. Yeah. If you look at that rotation up as it starts going, all those blue dots, the next rotation up from that one, big one, all those blue dots up through there are all by delta. And it's just bam, 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 bam. So like, that's not a place to fade.
No.
So one of the things with like taking information and distilling it into decision-making tools is it also kind of keeps you from doing something stupid. And fading that leg up would not be the smartest because of the amount of aggressive buying coming through. Right.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's some of the stuff I've been trying to change with some of my charts. It's really just how to visualize the data in a different way that's a little more actionable and maybe a little quicker.
Yeah. So. And I'll make sure that's in the show notes, the image there that we were just looking at, so you guys can listen, follow.
Yeah, yeah. And if somebody ever, like, we talked about Prop Alpha a lot on and off, but like, I had someone ask about something. How do you find your balance areas or something? And I was like, well, I got a video. There's like multiple videos on YouTube about how I do that, but it's actually automated now.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like, yeah, Prop Alpha has automation tools for balance areas, value areas, all that stuff. And so they said, well, how much is that? I don't remember. I don't know how much it is. I don't know, but it's not that much. But I think it maybe, let's call it $100. I don't know. $100 a month. That probably sounds about right.
Something like that. Yeah.
And with code Vanta, I think you get the first month free, shout out or something like that. Go to our Discord to find it. They were like $100 just for that. That's crazy. And I was like, well, hold on. It's not $100 just for that. And by the way, we get nothing from you using it. So this is just the idea of simplifying your work. It's like, I don't make anything from that. But secondly, $100 to save me time when I'm doing my morning prep, it's worth that. Two, you can put so many things together and have them visualized onto one chart to keep you from having 99 charts going on. And if you're a rotational trader, if you're a scalper, if you're order flow vibes with like delta and pace of tape and all that kind of stuff, you can visualize all that in so many creative ways with those tools. And the learning curve through Sierra is just minimized because you can probably do most of that most everything that anyone has indicator packages or tools, you can do through studies on Sierra if you
want to take the time to
have the time to conquer that monster, or you just click add custom study, go down to the delta of options and pick the one you want to look at. So the other interesting thing, Kyle, is the stats, right? So we talked about stats and easily worth $100. Yeah, John, I agree.
Yeah.
Shout out whoever John is. Come hang out in Vanta. If you're not, you can be in for the rest of the year for that comment.
Yeah, DM me.
DM Kyle. Welcome to the family. oh, I mean, if you want to. If you don't, that's fine too. But if you want to, come hang out. So like the stats on those blue dots that I have on that chart, it's like there's a little edge in that, right? There's a little bit of edge in that. But the stats on that, when applied to something that filters for trend, is significantly better, right? And so how do you anecdotally figure that out? And that's where, like, again, where the Prop Alpha tools come in to be way more worth, way more than their weight in gold, because you can take an idea. I really like this idea, but over the long back test, it's got a little bit of edge. Okay, well, how do I apply that idea to something, some other filter? And so that's what I'm doing in this Renko chart. Like, if all of our lines are blue and pointing straight up, I'm not looking for the backside rotations on that. I'm going to take profit where that delta shows up. I'm not trying to find a core short when we're on an ODZ 100 points above the OR in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Unless we traded above balance and pulled back in. And then it's a different story. But
you're not doing that at all-time highs.
No. We had a chance to. Instead, we rebid it today, and I just watched it happen and just kind of punched myself in the stomach.
Well, you guys want to do another bonus topic, or should we do good, bad, and ugly?
Dude, hit us with another bonus topic.
All right. Well, this is one that CP was asking about, and I think Joel asked about it. It was in our Discord in the suggestions, but the benefits of taking time off seems to be coming up quite a bit. Thoughts on that? How often are you guys taking time away from the market?
Banks has been gone for like a year.
It's been from the podcast. He's still been trading.
I'm just kidding.
Still been trading.
You've traded less, though, right?
Yeah, but how often are you guys taking like breaks like from the markets, and how long are those breaks?
I'm kind of on a 3-week hiatus right now, actually. I've still been in the room, but I haven't really. Yeah. I mean, with Thanksgiving and then this first week. Yeah. So the end of the year gets pretty busy for me. So I get this is kind of a nice little time to slow down a little bit. I'm still, still in the room, still talking through stuff. But like even today when I traded, I was just trading on Sim. I didn't do anything specific because I knew I was going to be in and out with meetings and Christmas drop-offs and stuff like that. So I think it's very important. The reason why is because I think you can get very narrow-minded in the market. I think you can get very much in the FOMO. I need to trade. I need to make money. I need to be in every single position possible. And realistically, I think, I would say the most profitable traders probably don't even trade every day, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I'll stick to that because I think a lot of them are more positional traders that trade longer term setups. So they may come to the market and trade one, let's just say out of a month, they may trade 5 to 10 days out of that month, where we may trade every day, of the trading days, just because we're intraday traders. But going back to your question about the break standpoint, I just think, especially during the holiday times, it's as an intraday trader, it becomes very hard because you're battling with news every week, almost every day. And then you get into the holidays where it's going to be shortened. It's going to be shortened hours. It's going to be shortened liquidity, smaller liquidity in the market. There's not going to be much, I don't say much movement. We moved 160 points today up. But those days like we had all week are going to be a lot harder to get included in. It's going to be a lot harder to trade. So, during these times, I think it's more of just not necessarily like if you want to trade, you may not have to take days off, but be willing just to say, if, you know, I'm going to go to the market and say, I'm only going to be here an hour. And if I don't get a setup, then I'm not going to trade today. And I think a lot of people, especially in the prop world, the goal of prop funds is to have you trade every day to eventually make you blow up.
Right.
That's the gist of it.
Yeah.
So when, you know, especially when you have days like this, like, or a week like this, actually, I mean, they had to have a ton of people blow up just the way that the market was trading. But, you know, going back to like your question there is, you know, I think it's super important to take time off, even if it's not the holidays, maybe, you know, maybe you do something with family during the summer vacation and just don't even look at the charts. And I think it's so important because, you know, over this last 3 weeks, I feel like I'm probably seeing it the best I've ever seen it, but I haven't taken any trades. So it's kind of hard to say that because, you know, I haven't really, you know, really put my capital on the line to prove it. But, you know, but just looking back at it, you can kind of see, like, you know, when you're just watching the charts, it's like just going back to review the day after the fact and kind of seeing like, oh, they did that. If I was to replay it, you know, I would have traded this way or whatever. It's interesting just to take that little bit of time off and kind of reflect on your trading in the moment. But yeah, I think it's super important to kind of step back, even if it's for a couple days.
I would say that really it should be more than that. I mean, I would venture to say a week every quarter is probably a good goal to shoot for. What about time during like the actual trading session? How often should we be getting up and excusing ourselves for 5-10 minutes to recollect our thoughts, reset, recenter? And even doing that is difficult, I think, for some people.
Yeah, I mean, so it's, and I'll answer this before Bobby gets into it. So from my mind, like when we're in the room, it's a little bit harder just because you have a bunch of people that are there. So, you know, from the standpoint of just we leave and no one's there.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of a hard thing to do.
That's why there's three of us.
but from that standpoint of just like taking a break, I mean, we all know like how we all trade, you know, that standpoint, I would say most of our trades probably happen within the first hour and a half. Going back to the first question, like if I'm trading past an hour, 2 hours into the market, that's probably not a great sign unless nothing is really setting up and it's just waiting for something for the afternoon, which, you know, really if you miss kind of the first or second hour trade, you're probably not going to have a setup until sometime in the afternoon after lunch or whatever. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think it's good to take breaks during the day. Like we used to trade with a trader that would have an alarm clock on his desk and it would go off during the chat and it would be like, and I can't remember, Bob, it was like every 15 minutes or every 10 minutes or something like that. And basically it would just
set my own.
Yeah. It would be like a reset, like a mental reset. So he would take like a mental reset, take a minute or two, you know, take some deep breaths and then, you know, get back into trading. I've never done that before, but
I just want something to clue me in to like take a breath, poke my head up, look at the high time frames.
Yeah.
I think a 15-minute timer would be perfect for that, actually.
Anyway. Well, I would just 2 cents on the whole deal. I probably take less time off than anybody. And yet I feel like I take some time off. So I would go back to like the two and a half, three weeks after the hurricane. I mean, I didn't even look at the market. I mean, yeah. I had no internet for 12 days.
And no power for how many of those two?
I had no power for those days too. Even when the power came back, the internet was still out.
Yeah.
And there was something refreshing about that. I came back in and stomped FTT into the ground. Still pissed that I didn't get to realize that money, but you know, I focused on those accounts for that. And I came back kind of with a vibe like, you know, all right, here we go. And it was really good. And then I would say there's probably a couple days a month, every month where I don't end up doing anything where we sit and look at it and talk or whatever. And honestly, Kyle, I mean, you mentioned something about trading like prop accounts, whether it's a prop account or a funded account with a company, you're we talked about how we trade those differently on and off. And, but here's the thing though, like now I'm like almost completely anti prop firm, at this point. Like I just don't care to spend money and time with the liability that they could just go away.
Yeah, or decide not to pay you.
And like, yeah, or change their rules. Like that happened to me as well with them. Yeah. I was caught up in the rule change where it was to weed out the flippers. I've never flipped a 1 point days, but I also didn't meet their new minimum threshold every day, right?
Yeah.
So whatever. I'm just kind of probably just salty about that. But like I'm not trading any of that stuff. It does nothing for me if I do all of that work. And I've never had that experience of having it rugged. And so it just really was unsettling. And so the trading less, I trade less when I'm like trading my cash account.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I trade less with that because it's, you know,
it's a lot more real.
Real, whatever matters. I don't know what the best adjective to describe the reasoning is, but what I do know is that like, if I was trading a random prop account or even a funded account on the all-time highs day, I would have just came in and traded it. I called banks before I even took a shower that morning after I took a walk and said, dude, is it lame if I'm not interested in doing even touching this. Like, is it lame if we just don't just tell everyone, be careful, don't trade this? This is like, I think this is not the highest probability environment for my work. And so I don't want to be a part of it.
No, but see, that's kind of the goal of that's the whole goal of Vonta is to model good behavior. If you aren't willing to take yourself out of the game, if you are recognizing, you know, conditions aren't conducive to your trading, then what are you doing with Vonta?
Yeah. So I think I trade a little bit less during the whole day too. I would say like, I don't take a lot of breaks during the day, but I also try it. Like my favorite days are when the only reason we trading past 11:30 or 12 o'clock is if it's the strongest trend day characteristics are present and you're just riding it.
Yep.
Right.
All right. Well, I think that's probably a good spot to put a pin in this. What do you guys think? We hit everything?
Yeah, sure, man. Yeah. Got the boys back together.
You said you don't take any vacation. What are you doing next week?
I'll be gone all week. Here's the funny thing about that, dude. Here's the funny thing about that.
Yeah.
When we take, so my wife and I, for those of you that don't know, we take at least one trip every year. No kids.
The Tennessee trip?
It's the Tennessee trip. Yeah, okay. So it's okay. Lame. I know it's the Myrtle Beach of the mountains,
but bad spot. Yeah.
But we've been doing this for, I guess, almost 15 years, where we will get a sitter for the kids for the week and we just leave. Right. And we just do our own thing. And there's really no agenda. Like we go to all these dinky stores and like go look at mountains and just, you know, it's just a recharge, like a reset. But here's the other funny thing. I'm sorry to the Vonta crew, but there are times like I'll have a laptop on that trip. And there are mornings like lazy mornings or breakfast at the room mornings or at the house mornings where I'll trade maybe coming into the open or even earlier in the morning or maybe like a late. I'll catch like a Euro session. Like I'll stay up real late one night and, you know, trade Euro or something. And when I'm just trading like that, and it's like, I'm not on mic, I'm not sharing my screen. It's just like hunkered down, just me in some random place. Honestly, like that's usually like, I usually make some hay in those settings.
Sounds like we need to move our desks next week.
I love like a new place. Like,
you know, I used to trade upstairs every now and then sometimes
yeah.
You know, on the laptop. It's kind of fun to be in a different environment.
I'm a sucker for a new spot, man. I am. But
all right. Well, I think that's probably going to do it for tonight's episode, though. Please join me in thanking Baba Yaga and Banks for coming out of retirement. And thank you, everybody, who stuck around to the bitter end. Please remember to show our panelists some love. You can click on those links in the show notes. Visit VantaTrading.com to trade with Baba and Banks every day, except for next week. BandaTradersPodcast.com, where you can stay up to date with the show. And when you're finished with all of that, find your next sipping whiskey for next week by subbing to our friends at Rare Barrel on YouTube, who are in the chat with us tonight. I should have shouted them out earlier. Sorry, guys. Congrats on the live stream tonight. That was awesome, by the way. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode. Again, hopefully with fewer rug pulls than last week. But until then, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a green week. The fucking Hawk Tua thing happened again. I had to leave.
Oh my gosh, can you believe it?
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.